Welcome, Dumbheads, to the 2017 Mega Dumbcast New Year's Countdown. This year on Mega Dumbcast, I discussed the dumbest thing on every goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies RPG. To cap off my misery and yours, I'm turning to The Rifter, Palladium's magazine slash supplement series for fan-submitted works. I'll drop an episode about one Ninjas and Super Spies article every day through the new year. Now let's continue the countdown with number 5.
Welcome to the Rifter number 49.
Please don't go. I'm not going to do that voice anymore from here on out. It is, of course, December, virtually the furthest you can get on the calendar from vampire season, which ends at midnight on October 31st. Then you, of course, enter the interstitial Thanksgiving period, and then it's directly onto Christmas, during which time vampires are powerless. The holy season of Christmas, and then, of course, the unofficial fourth member of the Trinity, America, dominates that interstitial Thanksgiving period. Vampires just have to stay in their homes be sad and do nothing like the rest of us during the Christmas season. But we're not here to talk about all of that. We're here to talk about vampires. Let me continue to narrow it down to a little teeny nub. We're here to talk about a tiny little section of one little article in this one little book, Rifter number 49. You'll know that you have the right issue of the Rifter in front of you if on the cover you see, oh man, some horrendous poser art of a vicious-looking vampire. He looks inhuman and monstrous, like all art created with poser. He has blood around his fanged mouth. His jacket, I guess, is meant to be some form of denim or gray leather, but looks more like it is made completely out of a wall texture from Doom. His little red undershirt underneath has sort of a stripey texture to it, and it has no collar, so it looks like very tight on him, sort of reminds me of like Stripesy or Artie the World's Strongest Man. Anyway, by now you've identified it. Yes, this is the one. It's the vampire issue. And in this issue, what we get is a big ol' article that is mostly unrelated to ninjas and super spies. And here's what's going on with this article, Vampires Revisited, which you will find on page 54. There are vampires already in the Palladium Megaverse. I'm not going to get into that very much. This is not a Rifts podcast, contrary to the wishes of literally every listener. But we're not talking about Rifts, so I'm not going to describe to you how Palladium vampires are weird and strange and different. Just know that it's enough of an issue that these vampires do not hit all the expected vampire beats that the author of this article decided to submit a new version of vampires for use with Nightbane or anybody who wants real vampires, not Rifts vampires. What this article gives us, in the way that only an article by a true fanboy author could, is vampires who are just crazy fucking powerful, which I like. I mean, I'm a vampire fan. I love Dracula, like the novel Dracula. That's the one for me. There are good Dracula movies. I think that the Dracula on Buffy was funny. But at the end of the day, it's got to be the novel for me. Because that's who I am. Other people read Dracula and they're like, ooh, vampires. And I'm like, ooh, epistolary format. That's what I'm into. I could take or leave the supernatural stuff. But as a Dracula fan, I love like powerful, powerful vampires that you could use as the antagonist of a whole campaign, you know? And this article delivers on that. It's got a bunch of different, you know, grades of vampire for you to use, but they're all pretty tough. And while that may be a pro for the GM who wants to throw a big, dramatic, scary, sort of romantic villain at the players, it could be a problem for you as a player because, of course, your goal in all role-playing games, you win by destroying the story and making sure that dramatic things don't happen. So what you want to do is kill vampires as quickly as possible. Don't give them a chance to be gothic. Don't give them a chance to, you know, reveal character, fall in love with anybody. I mean, I think we can all attest that our favorite role-playing sessions have been those where you show up, you use various magical tricks to take a shortcut through the mysterious castle, go directly to the final room where you one-shot the boss while the boss is sleeping, and then everybody goes home, you know? Why spend a whole afternoon? Why spend a golden day of childhood that will never come again role-playing with your friends when you could get in, roll a d20, get out, and go home to play more video games? So with that in mind, let's get a handle on the immense strengths of these vampires, and then we'll talk about a surprising way to undermine it. Yes, that's right. You heard me correctly. This local podcast man invented one crazy trick that will drive vampires crazy. So all right, let's do the setup. What we have in this article is a bunch of different types of vampires. starting with the very toughest, the Vampire Lord. The Vampire Lord has a ton of hit points, like 700 some odd hit points. But not in the SDC, which is weird because hit points represent like your life energy. Vampires are not alive. Whereas SDC represents structural damage capacity. Jeeps have it, walls have it, swords have it, animals, vegetables, and minerals of all sorts have it, but for whatever reason, vampires don't. Even though, and don't quote me on this, I guess you'd have to check with an architect, maybe some kind of ADA compliance expert, but I believe technically a vampire is a structure. As like a non-living, freestanding object that exists in a city, that's a structure. Vampires, of course, members of the Shed family. So anyway, that's the Vampire Lord. That's your Dracula. Next up, you got your Master Vampire. Less powerful, quite a bit. They're going to have only like their regular hit points plus like 3d6 times 10. So still a lot. I mean, especially given that these are hit points, not SDC, you're probably talking about somewhere in the range of 150, maybe 200 hit points. Very substantial threats, but a big step down. They're a lot less powerful than a Vampire Lord, but they're up there. Like if a Vampire Lord is Shredder, then a Master Vampire is not like Bebop or Rocksteady. This is like Tatsu. So this is still a big deal threat, but, you know, more on a reasonable antagonist level, more like what we've seen from the big name villains that we've talked about on the podcast so far. Then from there, you go down into your secondary vampire, your flawed vampire, your wild vampire, your shade, your ghoul, and then a couple of kind of sort of vampires, near vampires, as the article puts it. You got your dampier, you got your vampire, you got your vampiric with a K, V-A-M-P-I-R-I-K, vampiric, which is not, as you might expect, a once cool band from the 90s that is inexplicably still touring, and you can't understand why anyone used to like them, but sort of like Blade if his mom actually turned into a vampire. Like it's if a pregnant lady gets turned into a vampire and then becomes a vampire but carries the baby to term. I think that happens in Twilight, although I wouldn't know because I absolutely did not watch all of those films, including the one with the ridiculous fucking fight scene with like the X-Men of vampires, all assembled to fight that very camp one. So what do these vampires have in common? All right. The thing to know for the purposes of this podcast is that these are some tough motherfuckers. All vampires can regenerate. They get 2d6 hit points back per round. They regenerate 2d6 hit points per round. Now, an average of 7 hit points doesn't sound like much, but when it's every round, that's a lot, especially considering that these vampires can regenerate from almost anything. They can get their limbs back with regeneration if you lop them off. Even the stuff that is supposed to be like the big weaknesses, the big vampire slayer tactics to take down a vampire, they can pretty much regenerate from it. Take fire, for instance, right? Fire is a prime vampire killing weapon, but it does half damage to vampires, which seems weak until you consider that most things do no damage to vampires. Virtually everything we talked about, ninjas and super spies, I mean, you can joint lock a vampire all day long, snap its neck, kick its shins, hit it with a vehicle stopper, guns, punches, kicks, throws, explosives. There's actually a question in this article, can you kill a vampire with an H-bomb? The answer is no, you cannot. Almost all that stuff does no damage, and even fire, which is its specific weakness, only does half. And you better make that half damage add up quick, because the vampire is healing it at a rate of 7 hit points per round, which is like 28 per minute, which means a vampire with like 200 hit points, if reduced to 0 with fire, will be up and walking around again in like 4 minutes. Likewise, decapitation can incapacitate a vampire, but if the head's ever near the body, it pops right back onto the shoulders and off the vampire goes, no worse for wear. So basically your problem is not doing damage to vampires because there's ways to do that, right? Decapitation, fire, sunlight. The problem is that vampires are so tough and that they regenerate so quickly. And that, dumbheads, is where ninjas and super spies comes in. Ninjas and super spies, the beleaguered, underappreciated, cybernetic footage stepchild of the Palladium Megaverse, offers one of the premier ways to slay vampires, via a loophole in a little section of this article called Vampires and the Martial Arts. As it turns out, a vampire is a negative chi creature, so it's wandering around with negative instead of positive chi. Normally, negative chi is only found in creeps who hang out in basements. However, it is also found in undead creeps who hang out in basements, which is to say vampires. They need it to regenerate just the same way that a normal person needs positive chi to heal. If reduced, or I guess raised, to zero chi, they can't regenerate. Which means if they hit zero hit points while they have zero chi, then they are slain. There is one ability that allows you to eliminate the negative chi of another person in Ninjas and Super Spies. The ultimate vampire slaying technique, shiatsu. Yes, shiatsu. Shiatsu is, of course, Japanese for massage performed at the mall next to the U.S. cellular kiosk. Shiatsu allows you to spend one of your positive chi to eliminate two of a person's negative chi. Normally, this is used for healing, but there's nothing suggesting that a person has to consent to be shiatsu'd. I mean, in terms of game rules. Obviously, legally speaking, you're not going to want to run up and start massaging people against their will. That's common decency. I don't know why you're just learning this now from me on a podcast. But in terms of game rules, you can absolutely run up and start rubbing a vampire's shoulders and watch those aches and pains and the rest of him melt away under the onslaught of positive chi. Shiatsu does have to be powered by chi. However, the specifics of the treatment are unclear. I assume you have to touch the person, but this isn't a temi, it's a chi power. So could you perform shiatsu from across the room? Maybe so. What if you did that thing like the Frog Brothers did in Lost Boys, where they pushed a vampire into a bathtub full of holy water, only in this case, it's one of those shiatsu chairs from the mall. Put some plastic down so you don't get melted vampire all over it. You do need to be able to take it back to work tomorrow. If we lose our income base, the vampires win. So cover that shit up. You got to put a tarp on it. But nonetheless, the power of massage, you may be able to do it from a distance with the machine. I don't really know. There's no specificity in the rules about shiatsu. It tells you how much chi you have to spend and what effect you get, but it doesn't really say how long it takes. Because shiatsu is often used for tactical healing, though, I feel that it has to be usable in a combat effective span of time. I mean, unless otherwise specified, I guess just a turn, right? And there's no limit to how much chi you can spend at once. So if you have enough, you could wipe out all of a vampire's negative chi in one go. Just one assault with your magic fingers technique, one little rub on the scalp, drain all that negative chi, and now it's just a simple matter of whittling down the hit points. No regeneration to worry about. On the other hand, vampires do have negative chi equal to their hit points, which means that you may need to optimize for massage to have enough chi to pull off this trick. For lesser vampires, it's not going to be a problem. If they've got a reasonable number of hit points, you know, if they've got 50 or 60 or whatever, it's pretty trivial to build a Ninjas and Super Spies character who's got that much chi, particularly once you get into the mid-levels, you're going to be fine. However, if you are a dedicated vampire hunter and you really want to be bringing down master vampires and stuff, you're going to want to take Tai Chi or maybe Aikido, one of those martial arts that multiplies your chi. You're going to want to have a high physical endurance. You're going to want to take Dragon Chi so that you can pull in chi from the environment, go visit the waterfall in between vampire slayings. And if you can swing it, you're going to want like a minor superpower that enhances your chi as well, like healing factor or that karmic power superpower that also gives you more chi. This is all easy to put together through backstory, easy to justify. You got tons of physical endurance. You're very healthy. As a result, you live to an old age. Therefore, you want to get into a low impact exercise. Therefore, you take up Tai Chi. So now you're an old person who's very invested in chi abilities. You're already up early in the morning because you're out there doing that slow motion holding the ball thing. So you decide to get a job. You use your chi skills. You decide to take up shiatsu. So now I've got that shiatsu chi mastery ability. You set up shop next to the tanning beds at the mall. They've got them set too high. The radiation mutates you. You develop extraordinary physical endurance, which gives you double chi. Not only is that a deep and interesting character, but it's going to give you the chi that you need to fight vampires. This is role-playing and role-playing. The classy actor thing and the classless nerdy thing we do with dice, hand in hand, allowing us to steamroll our antagonists before they can become interesting. Now, I don't want to give you the mistaken idea that you're going to be able to run off with this character and fight vampires by yourself, because you still do need to deplete their hit points, which are substantial. You're not a one-man show. You're not like just this one legendary mall-based vampire slayer, probably called Orange Julius. Maybe you could have team-ups with Crimson Waters. But no, even as badass as he is, Orange Julius cannot take on the forces of darkness alone. However, any team of vampire slayers really wants a shiatsu massage expert on the team. And I happen to think that this unexpected vampiric vulnerability to the art of massage is the dumbest thing in this article. Nonetheless, this vulnerability will actually make combat with a big, chunky, high hit point antagonist faster, which at least is a positive. Speaking of that one good thing, join me next time to see it destroyed as we move beyond the quick and easy Palladium combat system for something much more granular and awkward on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Did you know that this New Year's countdown is also a shameless fundraiser for MDC Season 2? It is. A second season about Heroes Unlimited is in the works, and if every regular MDC listener made a one-time donation of $3, its hosting costs would be paid for. If you accept this mission, go click my coffee button at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. The future of heroism itself depends upon your podcast patron dollars. No pressure. This has been part of MDC's 2017 New Year's Countdown. A new episode will drop every day through January 1st. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your podcatcher of choice, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, The Rifter, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This theme song is New Year's Party by Topti Jin by Kim and Buran, whose work you can find on freemusicarchive.org. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.